Matthew's Gospel, chapter number 3. Glad He's going to dry all of our tears at the gate of the city. There are some things here worth shedding tears over. I'm glad Christ will wipe away all of our tears at the gate of the great city. Matthew 3, verse number 1. In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness. He had something to say. Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. You may be seated tonight. Thank you for standing and honoring the reading of the Word of God. Father, we love you. We thank you for this time together. Lord, how our heart has been touched by the little ones tonight. And I pray that you'd touch each teacher. I pray you'd touch each little heart there tonight. Lord, that the Word of God may go inside and bring forth a good ground, good fruit. And Father, I pray tonight you'd help us to teach, to be a blessing. And I thank you how good that you've been to us, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. I will preach tonight on this simple subject where he said, saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. I'll preach on this statement tonight. The good God of heaven. The good God of heaven. Now here in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 3, the Bible said, in those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness. Now, Christ sent him to preach. He said it shows the foolishness of preaching to save those that believe. It's a big difference in preaching and teaching, and I think that we need both. But certainly preaching has to do with heralding the good news of the Lord Jesus. If there's ever been a time that voices need to be lifted, it is in this day and this hour about the good news of the Lord Jesus. May I say, God's people's been way too quiet too long tonight. And so here, the good God of heaven, let's look in verse number 1 at the heaven's preacher tonight. John the Baptist, remember he was filled with the Holy Ghost in his mother's womb there of Elizabeth. Remember his dad, Zacharias, was of the high priestly order. And there we find a statement about what Christ said about John the Baptist. He said in Matthew's Gospel, chapter number 11 and verse number 11, Jesus said, verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding that he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. Sounds like tonight that heaven's going to fix it all. He said there'll be nobody greater than John the Baptist. And so here we see heaven's preacher. Now notice in verse number 2, look at this preacher's ministry. He came saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. I believe repentance is essential to that of salvation. I believe that it goes along with whosoever that believes. I believe the Bible says that if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become anew. See, salvation, you don't get saved by head knowledge. You get saved by heart knowledge. And I believe the moment that that heart turns to Christ, there will be a repentance. There will be a new walk, a new belief. And so here we see heaven's preacher and his ministry. He came saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. You say, well, preacher, what does the word repentance mean? It means to turn around and walk another direction. We were all walking in trespasses and sins. And now that we believe, we should turn and trust Christ and walk in the straight and the narrow way. Now we see heaven's preacher and his ministry. Look at it in verse number 11. He came and said, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I'm not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Now we know the day that we get saved, we are baptized in the family of Christ by the Spirit of God. The baptism of the Holy Ghost is not a second work of the Spirit. The Bible teaches us the day that we believe we're placed in Christ, and Christ is placed in us. We're placed in the family by the Spirit of God. And so I'm glad tonight that here John had a great ministry. But look with us in the parallel gospel and hold your place and go to John 1 and verse number 29. Not only do we see heaven's preacher and his ministry, but I'm going to talk just a moment about heaven's preacher and his master. John 1 and verse number 29. The Bible said, the next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Aren't you glad that our sins are not rolled over to the next year? But aren't you glad that we've trusted Christ that He would take our sins away? I'm glad as far as the east is from the west tonight, the blood of Jesus washes us clean. And so heaven's preacher, he had a great ministry, not like many other men's ever experienced. He came blazing a trail. Now, when God put John on the scene, it had been around 30 years of silence since Jesus had been born. He and Jesus, they lived in secluded places. And you'll not find much except in Luke's gospel about Jesus when he was 12 years old. And there was a span there for about 30 years where God was silent. But now God has brought John the Baptist out of the wilderness on the scene, proclaiming about the one that God has sent. That is the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. So there was heaven's preacher. Aren't you glad that you've met some of heaven's preacher in this walk of life? This week I was preaching, I don't know if many of you have heard this man's name, but Brother Billy Kelly, Brother Mays Jackson. I stood where those men stood in the pulpits in America. And how my heart has been touched by heaven's preachers. Isn't it amazing that God thought enough of me and you to let us hear a preacher that had been anointed, had been touched, and God had filled their heart to be a blessing to us till we get to heaven. Thank the Lord for heaven's preachers. There's not many left today. Something bothers me. We don't see many young men of God being called to preach the gospel. It reminds me that we are in the last days and Jesus is soon to come. Why, in the 50s and 60s, you'd see the average church have several men of God called out. But we don't hear that much anymore. Seems like God's starting to get silent in this day and this hour. But can I tell you, God's Bible's still talking tonight. If you know of a God-called preacher, you ought to pray for him every chance that you get. You ought to cheerlead him on into glory and add him on and say amen every chance that you get. There was heaven's preacher. We see his ministry and his master. But in John 3, I love his message. For he said this in the parallel gospel of John 3 and verse 27. The Bible said this, John answered and said, A man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. Ye yourselves bear the witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but that I am sent before him. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom. But the friend of the bridegroom which standeth and heareth him rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This my joy, therefore, is fulfilled. Now, verse 30, underline this in your Bible. He must increase, but I must decrease. And so, the good God of heaven, we see heaven's preacher. Now, then you'll notice in Matthew chapter number 3, back to that text, in the good God of heaven, not only do we find heaven's preacher, but now we look at heaven's people. Matthew 3 and verse number 5, the Bible said, Then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region round about Jordan. Now you'll notice in verse number 5, the people of God were coming out. Aren't you glad that God has brought us out? God raised up Moses
when the children of Israel were in heavy bondage under Pharaoh. But I sure am glad we've got a God that delivers us out of some things tonight. Aren't you glad you're not in this old world anymore? Aren't you glad we're strangers and pilgrims here on a journey? Aren't you glad that Abraham said that he was looking for a city who the builder and maker was God? He was looking for something that didn't have USA stamped upon it. And I don't know about y'all folk tonight, but the older I get in the Lord, the sweeter heaven gets. I'm glad God saved me one day. Heaven's getting sweeter every day. I'm glad I've met a lot of God's good people. And so we see here the people of God were coming out. In verse 5, you'll notice not only were they coming out, but they were going in. They said they went out to him in Jerusalem and all Judea in all the region round about Jordan and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sin. Not only were they coming in and coming out, but you'll notice they were confessing up. The Bible said in verse number 6 that they came to be baptized of him, confessing their sin. We got a lot of sin that needs to be confessed tonight. And aren't you glad that Jesus said, if we would simply confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You know, the devil would have us when we sin to stay in that sin. But aren't you glad as a child of God we can confess our sin and turn away from our sin and God can restore us back into fellowship as He always has. So here, the good God of heaven. There's heaven's preacher, John the Baptist. There's heaven's people. But in this text, notice there's heaven's priority. Now heaven has always prioritized the Son. In Matthew 3 and verse number 13, then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And Jesus answered and said to him, suffer it to be so now. For thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. Now, here you'll notice some things that people teach baptism is, and I don't have time to go into that tonight except a few details. One thing, what I want to say, what baptism is not. Baptism is not washing away our sin. Jesus had no sin to be washed of. He was the perfect Lamb of God. Somebody said He could have sinned. No, He couldn't. He was the God-man. He never even had a thought about sin. But yet He felt our infirmities and became man in the flesh and suffered the death of the cross. Tonight, I'm going to say this. Baptism is not the washing away of our sin. Now, John's baptism, it was simply for the acknowledgement of one's sin, the baptism of repentance. They were simply making an open statement, confessing their sin and being baptized. But now the believer's baptism is a public declaration. It's an acknowledgement of one's salvation. Water don't get you saved. But I think once you've trusted Christ as your Savior, you ought to be baptized to make a public declaration of an acknowledgement. Baptism is not sprinkling with a hose pipe or a garden hose. It's going under, submersed. And therefore, there's John's baptism and the believer's baptism. But then certainly at Christ's baptism, it showed simply the commitment of the Savior. Christ came unto John. Could you imagine there was John that day? And Jesus came and said, John, I want you to baptize me. What a humbling experience. I remember the time in the Bible when He came unto Peter and they were washing one another's feet. And Peter said, Lord, you not going to wash my feet? Oh my, how little John must have felt when Christ came unto him. So here, the good God of heaven tonight, there's heaven's preacher. There's heaven's people, and then there's heaven's priority. Now notice this in verse number 17. Jesus came from the land above. The Bible said, and Jesus, when He's baptized in verse 16, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto Him. He saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon Him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, "This is My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Heaven's priority. He came from the land above. Look in verse 17. Lo, a voice from heaven saying, "This is My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Isn't it amazing that God sent His Son from heaven? That's an amazing thing to me tonight. He came from the land above. Secondly, He came as the Lamb approved. Look what God said. He said, "This is My beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." You'll notice that the Spirit of God did not rest upon John. And even though in Matthew 11:11, the Bible said there's none born of woman that is greater than John the Baptist. But that dove didn't light on John. That dove was not confused. I'm going to tell you, there may be a lot of preachers tonight who's the head one, but you looking at one that ain't confused about who's the head tonight. It is Christ. He's everything. He's the lovely one. And the Spirit of God is always magnifying God's Son. Oh, to Him be the honor and the glory tonight. Oh my, the good God of heaven. We see heaven's priority. He came from the land above. He came as the Lamb approved. But then thirdly, He came as a life accepted. Notice this, heaven open. You know, you remember when Jesus died between the two thieves at the cross? One rejected Christ and one received Christ. And you remember what Jesus said in Luke Gospel chapter number 23? He said, "Lord, remember me." And He turned around and He said, "Today shalt thou be with me in paradise." I like what an old preacher has gone on in the glory said about that old thief on that cross. He said, that old thief, he picked the lock to glory that day. What are you talking about? Jesus opens heaven. And He's the only one that had it. And my friend, that old thief, he picked Jesus and unlocked heaven for him that day on the cross. I'm going to tell you, Jesus can unlock heaven for you tonight. I was baptized at 12 years old. It did nothing for me. I joined their church and they've still probably got a record of that. But in 1981, something happened to me. The Lord of glory come, knocked on my heart, dealt with me as a sinner. And I said, "Lord, save me." And God unlocked heaven to me by His Son tonight. You'll notice when John had his hands on Jesus, heaven wasn't unlocked for John till Jesus come on the scene. But aren't you glad once you get your hands on Christ, heaven's unlocked for you tonight? Child of God, let me tell you, there's nothing that you need that God don't have. And He sees about all of His little children. I love what the old black man of God said. He said, "Friend, not only does God own the cattle on a thousand hills, but He owns all the stuff that's under the hill. I mean, God shall supply all of our needs according to His riches in glory tonight." My, my. Heaven's priority. He came from the land above. He came as the Lamb approved. And He came as the life accepted. Heaven opened. But then lastly tonight, not only do we see heaven's preacher, not only do we see heaven's people, and we see heaven's priority, but lastly, we see heaven's provision. In verse number 16 said, "The heavens were opened unto Him, and He saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon Him," or upon Jesus. "And lo, a voice from heaven saying, 'This is My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.'" Here God began to magnify His Son. And so we see in heaven's provision, the Spirit descending from above, there is heaven's gift. You ever thought about this in closing? God sent His Son. That's one of the most amazing texts in our Bible, John 3:16.
For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Oh, tonight, heaven's provision. There was heaven's gift. God sent His Son. But then secondly, not only is there heaven's gift, there's heaven's grace. I'm glad there's salvation in this day, in this hour. Then there's heaven's guide, the Spirit of God. In John's Gospel 16, in verse number 7, I want you to turn there with me tonight. Last place I go, John 16. I want you to look in verse number 7 a little bit here about the Spirit of God. John 16 and 7. You know what's sad, folks, is people trying to have church without the Spirit of God. What's so sad is children of God trying to walk and do their own thing without the Spirit of God. I'll be honest with you. I'm trying my best to walk with the Lord. If I've ever in my life, I'm trying. I fail every day. But I tell you something I don't miss much. Every morning of my life, I don't care if I'm in a motel room, I don't care if I'm in a travel trailer, if I'm in my home, wherever I'm at, I try to find a place every morning of my life. God, direct my path today. Help me. Because God, I'm up against things I know that's bigger than I am. And God, I cannot handle this today. I need You to help me. And I sure am glad the Bible teaches us in John's Gospel, chapter 16, verse 7, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient," or that word, "it is to your advantage for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send Him unto you. And when He's come, He will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment." Then He says in verse 12, "I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now." Verse 13, underline this in your Bible. "Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come." Folks, I can probably tell you each experience in my life when the Spirit of God directly spoke to me and showed me things. And I'm going to tell you what I've noticed about the Spirit of God. When He speaks to my heart, there's no voice like His voice. And I can, and even though it don't make sense at times, I can always trust Him for telling me what I need to hear. He's the Spirit of truth tonight. He'll not lead you to false places. I hear people saying, "Well, the Lord led me there." And they're preaching out the wrong kind of Bible. How'd the Spirit of God do that? You see, the Spirit of truth has come. Watch this. He will guide you into all truth. We need His help. Spirit of God, lead me, help me, speak to me. For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come. Now watch this, verse 14. He shall glorify me. If you ever see any preacher that's exalting theirself, I will assure you the Holy Ghost has backed off them. It's not about us. It's about Him. This Bible said that the Spirit of God would glorify the Son. "For He shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I that he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. The Spirit of God leads us right tonight, folks. There's heaven's preacher. We've looked at heaven's people. We've looked at heaven's priority. And then we've closed with heaven's provision. Heaven's gift, God's Son, heaven's grace, God's salvation, heaven's guide, God's Spirit. There is heaven's gaze. There's God's supply. I sure am glad that Jesus opened heaven. And no, it does matter who you know tonight. I'm glad I know God's Son. And He's opened heaven over my life. Is heaven over your life tonight? Do you know God's Son? He loves you. And He died for you. Never been nobody loved me like Jesus. And I thank Him for that tonight. Father, we love you. We thank you for this good time together today.